Thanks to Ian and the band for leading us. Is it just me or is it warm in here, folks? Ben, could you wedge open that door for us as well? I know the doors at the back are open too. Let's come before God together in prayer. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that the psalmist tells us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Today, Father, we praise you afresh for your goodness. You alone are good, as Jesus reminds us. Upright, true, and pure in all your ways. And we praise you that in the beginning, when you created the heavens and the earth, you looked and saw that it was good. And we thank you that you are good to all, that your mercy is over all that you have made. We thank you that day by day we receive good gifts from yourself. All that is necessary to sustain our life and to enable us to enjoy the good things in this world. And yet we also come conscious that while you are good, we are not of ourselves. That this world is not the same good world that you made. We acknowledge and confess our fallen nature. We come confessing our sin. That we often think and speak and act in ways that are not good. In ways that bring hurt and harm to ourselves and to others and to your world. We're conscious we live in a world that's filled with bad news. News of violence and war, of suffering and sickness, of poverty and injustice, of earthquakes and floods. News of the frailty of life, the reality of death. We're surrounded by bad news. But we thank you that because you so loved the world, you did not leave us in that state. Instead, because of that steadfast love, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, experiencing life as we do. With all its joys and sorrows, its good times and its hard times. Thank you that he identified with us in all things, was like us in every way, except without sin. And we rejoice that he offered up his life on the cross, taking the penalty for our sin. We thank you, as we were singing, for that good news that he rose again, that he is alive, that he ascended into heaven, that he rules at your right hand. And that one day he's coming back to judge this world, to bring in your kingdom, to bring about the renewal of all things. And we praise you that this is good news in a bad news world, that the gospel is literally good news, life-changing, life-giving news, and that it is good news that needs to be shared. Lord, we are aware of how quickly bad news travels in our community, in our society. So we ask that as we think afresh today about the gospel and about reaching out with that gospel, that we would focus on the good news. Of that responsibility to share that good news and to know that through that gospel you're able to bring transformation to lives and communities. So Father, receive our praise. Hear our prayers. Meet with us today through your Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I ask primary school children, kids' church, and beginners are already out this morning, but could I ask primary school children come up to the front, folks? It'd be great to have you up at the front. Come on ahead. You weren't shy last week. Come on. Come on up. Okay. And if you're in the gallery, we will wait for you if you're in the gallery. Thank you, James. You've answered the question before I asked it. Thank you. Good to see a good crowd of our young ones out today. Good to see. Wow, dear goodness, I didn't realize there's so many of you hiding up in the gallery there, and they're still coming. That is great to see. Brilliant. What was that? Who was that? Find out later. Folks, some announcements have been up on the screens. Hopefully you've taken in some of those if you weren't too busy talking to each other, but let me highlight a few of them. First of all, members of Kirk Session, note our business meeting tomorrow evening, 7:30 in the upper room. The agenda will be sent out today, folks. Sorry, we're a bit behind a couple of things, but the agenda will be sent out to you today. Link up then, the link's open, Wednesday as normal from 10 until 12. September and October bulletins are available, both online on our website and also in printed form. You can lift those from the door. And then this book, folks, could highlight this again, Five Things to Pray for Your Church. Many of you, I mean, we gave out a few years ago, I know we gave out like 100, 120 copies of this, so they're there. Hopefully you've found it, you've looked it out. If you weren't with us, you're more recently with us in Railway Street, you can lift a copy of this free today. They're at the door, they're in the link. And then tomorrow, we want to begin using this together. We want to increase the level of prayer across our church. We seek to encourage folks to meet together to pray. This is the way we can pray together, but individually, if you know what I mean. And so tomorrow we use this book, and we don't try to do too much at once. This week we're simply starting in that first section. So tomorrow we start on page 11, praying that my church would remember what we are. And that's what you focus on tomorrow. The next day you go to page 15, praying that my church would be a body growing in maturity. And so we go through, we'll go through those seven topics in the next week, and then next Sunday we move on. So let's use this together, folks. And you can read through it and pray through it just in a few moments. So whether in the morning, coffee break, lunchtime, in the evening time, before bed, let's use this book together and let's pray for God to continue to work in our midst here in Railway Street. Could I highlight again the opportunity to meet with Evangelical Alliance this Thursday evening in Bloomfield? If we can find that slide, folks, that would be good. And this is in regards to the changes that the Secretary of State has imposed on Northern Ireland, changes to relationship and sexuality education at the minute in post-primary schools. Serious issue. If you've got the bulletin, I've encouraged you to read that article from the Evangelical Alliance. Please read that. And if you want to go along on Thursday night, either speak to me today or enroll yourselves. Now, if you've enrolled, if you've registered yourselves, would you let me know you're going, folks, so that we can car share? But I would encourage you, if you can get along to that on Thursday, to do so. Now, we're going to take a Sunday evening in the coming weeks. We're going to look at that in Railway Street, but this would be an important, thank you, that would be an important starting point for folks. So if you can go to that, school governors, parents, teachers, really would encourage you to go. This is going to affect all of us in the coming and the coming months and years. Then finally, folks, it is with sadness that I announced the death yesterday evening of Mrs. Jean Whithorn, formerly of Woodland Park. Arrangements are yet to be confirmed, but it's anticipated that there will be a service of thanksgiving for Jean's life here on Wednesday afternoon. To her husband Andy, to her son Ian, to the family circle, we extend our sympathies. We're going to remember them in prayer. In addition, we're also going to pray. It's great to see the large numbers who have registered for BB and GB. GB had their first night on Thursday night. Great crowd of girls here. And I asked our captains to send me some prayer points for both our BB and GB today, and thank them for doing that. We're also going to remember and pray for the work of our Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade. So let's pray together. Father of compassion, God of all comfort, we want to commit to you today, family of Jean Whithorn. Thank you for her life. Thank you for what she meant to those who knew and loved her. We thank you for her commitment to this church and to its worship, for her faithful attendance Sunday by Sunday as long as health allowed. Do you know her family's sorrow at this time? We thank you how the psalmist tells us that you're close to the brokenhearted. You save those who are crushed in spirit. So we commit to you today her husband Andy, her son Ian, daughter-in-law Yvonne, the wider family. And we pray that they would all know the reality of your love and your presence with them in their time of sorrow. Above all, may they know and experience the reality of the hope of the gospel. Through our Lord Jesus, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. So we commit this family and all who mourn at this time to your compassion and your comfort. Father, we give thanks to you and we rejoice in the work amongst our boys in First Lisburn BB for over 100 years. We give thanks to you and we rejoice for the more recent work amongst the girls in our Girls Brigade over these last 4 years. We thank you for all the boys and girls who have returned this year. We thank you for new members in both companies. We praise you for the commitment of our officers and leaders, and we thank you for new leaders this year. We rejoice, Lord, in the great facilities that are available to run those programs. And I know our captains are encouraged, Lord, by the prayerful and financial support of many in this church family. We thank you too, Lord, that though it's been a difficult process, we thank you for those successful negotiations that have led to the establishment of the Boys Brigade Northern Ireland as an autonomous organization. And thank you that we're now operating as the Boys Brigade Northern Ireland. As we look ahead to this new session, we pray for energy and enthusiasm for all our leaders. We pray for enjoyment of the weekly program by all. We pray for attentive listening and learning in their Bible and scripture work. We pray for the building up of new and the development of existing relationships between leaders and the young people and their families. And we pray that the BB's object of advancing Christ's kingdom among boys and that the GB's aim to enable girls to seek, serve, and follow Christ would be at the forefront and the center of their weekly work. We thank you for the open Bible attendance badge and for that encouragement to girls to attend church regularly, and we thank you for those present with us today. And we pray, Lord, that the boys and girls would be open to responding to the good news and would have faith in Jesus Christ, would grow in that faith or come to faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you too for the opportunities to connect with parents and to provide hospitality in the link on Tuesday and Thursday nights. So Lord, hear our prayers for our Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade. Be pleased to bless it mightily in this session, we pray. And Lord, especially we uphold David Cleland, our BB captain, and Hilary Milligan, our GB captain. We thank you for their leadership. We pray that you would bless them and that they would know the encouragement of their officers, the encouragement and support of the church family here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to think about God's word together, we join together to sing. We focus on that message of the gospel, encapsulated as it is on the cross, as we join together to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Thanks to Ian and Rebecca. I thought it was time we cleared those organ pipes out, so thanks for that, Ian. Let's turn to God's word together, folks. We're in Romans this morning. We're going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 10. So I invite you, folks, if you have your own Bibles, to open them or to make use of the Bibles that are in front of you. Let's turn together to Romans chapter 10. Members of Railway Street will know that I'm never happier than when we're working systematically through a Bible book. We're going to be continuing to do that on Sunday evenings in 2 Peter. But from time to time, we do a thematic series, and it's good from time to time to do that. And so that's what we're beginning today. So we want to read some verses from Romans chapter 9. And we're looking at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. And we thank God for this reading from his word. Every company today has a mission statement, a purpose statement. And most churches have one of those as well. But I want to share with you some mission statements belonging to famous companies and see if you can identify them. Feel free to shout out, folks. First of all, we create happiness by providing the finest in entertainment for people of all ages everywhere. Anybody know whose purpose statement that is? Let's see if you're right. Go to the next slide. That is Disney's purpose statement. Now, that used to be what Disney was about. Not so much these days. Today, they seem to be more about promoting certain progressive messages, and all their films at the minute seem to be flopping. Their share price is tanking at the minute, but that is their purpose statement. Here's the second one. To build a place where people can come to find and discover anything they might want to buy online. Yeah, Amazon. How many of you have an Amazon Prime van at your door most days? I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. I'm just going to remind you, shop local, folks. Stop giving all your money to Jeff Bezos. Here's another one. To refresh the world in body, mind, and spirit, to inspire moments of optimism and happiness, to create value and make a difference. The key word there is refresh. If you were with us last Sunday night, we were thinking about this company and this product. Shout it out. Let's see. Coca-Cola. Now, I don't know if AJ Johnson is here. I mean, if AJ's here and he's getting any cravings, AJ, it's here and it's still cold if you need it. But like I said to you, boy, it's Coke Zero. You got to get off that full sugar stuff. It's not good for you. Coca-Cola. To bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. If you have a body, you are an athlete. To bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. Shout it out. I'm coming 51, folks. My ears are not so good. You got to shout it out. Nike. Absolutely right. And one more. To make the world's information universally acceptable. That was a Freudian slip. To make the world's information universally accessible and useful. To make the world's information universally accessible and useful. Let's see it. Google. Now, increasingly, Google decide what you can access and what you can't. That's a whole other issue entirely. Companies today have their mission statements, their purpose statements. And folks, as most of you know, early last year, our elders signed off on our mission plan for 2023 to 25. And it was published in the April bulletin. Now, I know for many of you, that bulletin long ago went into the recycling bin. Hopefully some of you took that mission plan out. You kept it before you did. So if you didn't, I'm happy to tell you the mission plan is available both online in the resources section of the website, and it's in printed form at the door and in the link. And I'd encourage you, if you don't have a copy, to take one, particularly if you're relatively new to our congregation, because it will help you understand more of what we're about as a church and what we want to become. So get a copy of that mission plan. And the starting point, as always, is Railway Street's mission statement, our purpose statement. That as a church, we are about following Christ and serving the community in which we've been placed. And so we seek in obedience to Christ to work together to see people coming to faith in Christ and to grow in love for God and others. That's why we exist as a church. And that is based upon what the Bible tells us is the reason why we exist as a church. And within that purpose statement and within our mission plan, there are two priority areas that the elders have identified that we want to focus on as a church over these next couple of years. And I spoke on this last spring. First of all, the development of all-age discipleship. And secondly, outward intentional evangelism. We want to put intentional outreach at the heart of our church's work and witness. And so to help us as we seek to do that, our autumn teaching series on Sunday mornings is this, gospel-shaped outreach, and it's based, adapted from material produced by the Gospel Coalition. Now let me say very quickly what this is not about. This is not primarily about how to do evangelism. And it is not, and we would all love if there were quick fixes and gimmicks. And there are lots of people out there who tell us there are quick fixes and gimmicks when it comes to evangelism. This course is not about offering quick fixes or gimmicks. Rather, it's about seeking to develop a culture of intentional gospel outreach at the heart of our church's life. It's about continually looking back to the gospel in the belief that as we do that, that gives us the motivation to work together as a church to share the gospel message with those who are lost without Christ. So what comes into your mind when you hear the word evangelism? Let's think about that together for a moment.
Excitement and fearful.
Nervousness.
It'd be a little scary.
Psyching myself up for it. But willing, but a little intimidated.
Excitement. Feeling of something necessary that I have to do because it's others' well-being is at stake, eternal well-being.
I would say fear, but then prayer and boldness, that can be scary or intimidating sometimes. Challenging for me, especially.
It makes me think of the gospel and spreading the good news of Jesus.
Wonder, did some of those thoughts you've just heard make you think, yes, that's me. That's me. Sharing the gospel is every Christian's responsibility. But the truth is, most Christians are nervous when it comes to telling others about Jesus. And along, I would say, with gathering together to pray out loud, and these are the two aspects of church life that cause many of us discomfort and anxiety. And so we often prefer to leave it to others. Say, we'll leave that for others to get on with. Folks, over this autumn period, we're going to think together about what evangelism is, what it isn't. We're going to be working out how we can encourage each other to share the good news that we've received from God. First of all, we go back to absolute basics. What is evangelism? What is evangelism? Friends, our God is in the business of changing people and changing churches, and he always does that through the gospel. He's in the business of changing people and changing churches, and he does that through the gospel. Through the gospel, he changes us from his enemies to his friends and his children. Through the gospel, he's brought us into a new family to care for each other and to do his will in the world. The gospel brings life. The gospel creates and sustains churches. But for the gospel to bring about that change in the lives of individuals and communities, it has to be shared. And so evangelism is the action of telling people the gospel. Evangelism is the action of telling people the gospel. In simple terms, the gospel is literally good news. It means good news. It's the good news that God saves all who put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now notice there are two parts to this. There's the message. There's the good news about Jesus Christ. And then there's the action. There's engaging with people so that they are able to hear the message as we share it. I want you to think back. Those of you who can remember, and this is not true for everybody, but those of you who remember a specific moment where you responded to the gospel, that specific moment when you became a Christian, I want you to think back about the excitement you knew at that time. And did you have a desire to tell other people about it? Because the good news at that moment felt as good to us as it could ever, ever feel. Folks, any time when I've been privileged to be present when the Holy Spirit has opened someone's heart to respond to the gospel, when they have committed themselves to Jesus Christ, there's something I always say to them, always. I say to them, I want you to tell at least one other person about this today. Now, often you don't need almost to say that because they will naturally do that. But some folks need to be encouraged to do that. And the next time I see them, I'll say, did you do it? Who did you tell? Now, why do I do that? Partly because this is a huge event in anyone's life. This is the best and most important thing that can happen to us. You understand that? This is the most important thing that can happen to any human being. It is good news, and it's good news that needs to be shared. So you think about when you passed your exams, or when you passed your driving test, whatever attempt it was, or when you got your first job, or when you got engaged, or when you became a parent. Did you keep that news to yourself? Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. You were telling anybody you could find to tell. Because there's an excitement when something good happens in our lives, and we have a natural desire to share that good news with others. That's how it should be when we've received and believed the gospel. Now, another reason I tell people to make sure they tell someone else is to help affirm them in their faith. Because I've learned over the course of ministry that many Christians lack assurance in their faith. They sometimes wonder whether they're really Christians or not. They're afflicted by questions and doubts. They wonder, did I really do it right? And they think, do I need to invite Jesus into my heart again? Billy Patterson was originally a member of Sloan Street Presbyterian Church. He became one of our mission workers. He's been powerfully used of the Lord over the years. He's been used by the Lord to bring many people to faith in Christ in many places, but particularly in Kilkenny and Drogheda, where our churches were on the verge of closure, and where our churches experience new life in large numbers. I've known Billy many years, and he spoke at a mission in my previous churches, and I asked him why he thought I was encountering Christians who lacked assurance in their faith, and he hardly had to think about it. He said, Michael, the answer to that's really simple. They've never told anyone about their faith. They've never told anyone. And the longer you go on without telling anyone about your faith, and the more you'll begin to question that faith yourself. It's when we tell others about our faith, when we share it, that we find out our faith is affirmed, as the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, many Christians find, however, that over time, evangelism, rather than become easier, sometimes becomes more of a challenge. Because often the initial excitement of becoming a Christian fades. And sometimes the number of our Christian friends reduces. Hopefully that's because we've seen them come to faith, not because we've lost touch with non-Christians. But the need to share our faith with others, it seems to diminish. And then we maybe decide that evangelism is not really our thing. It's not really our responsibility. It should be left to the pastor. It should be left to those people who are specifically gifted. It's not really for us. Folks, we need to remember that the tone and character of the New Testament is evangelistic. It's evangelistic. The overwhelming concern of the book of Acts is to show us the advancement of the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem to Rome to the ends of the earth through the witness of ordinary Christians. And in particular, we have what we now call the Great Commission. The end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus gathered his disciples together and said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. That reading from Romans chapter 10, we find the Apostle Paul saying that in order for someone to become a disciple of Christ, they must hear the gospel and believe it. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then Paul challenges us with this question. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? There needs to be a messenger. There always needs to be a messenger to bring the truth to people. Some of us make the mistake of thinking evangelism is only for those in full-time Christian ministry, only for those who are specifically gifted as evangelists. That's not the perspective of Jesus. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to share the gospel. That great commission given to the 12 wasn't just for them. It's an ongoing commandment and imperative for every new generation in the church, because, as I've said before, humanly speaking, the church is always only one generation away from extinction. Unless we pass the gospel on. Jesus has commanded us to make disciples of others. And in order for people to be saved from the penalty of their sins, they need to believe the truth of the gospel. And this message is good news, is the word of Christ delivered through the faithful witness of one of his disciples. Now, you think about those 12 apostles. There was nothing particularly special about them. They were very ordinary men from ordinary backgrounds. And they messed up spectacularly at times, didn't they? But they were those who had seen and heard extraordinary things, and they were called to share that with others. That famous missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, said this. He said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. It's not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed." What is evangelism? Secondly, and let's bring it home to us in Railway Street, where are we with evangelism? Evangelism is something we know we're called to do, but we often struggle to do it. In one study, 80% of Christians surveyed believed they had a personal responsibility to share their faith, 80%. But over 60% said they hadn't told another person about their faith in the last 6 months. What does that mean? Well, it means that the majority of Christians have a biblical responsibility, that it is our responsibility. But an incorrect application of that. In other words, we know what we're supposed to do, we just don't do it. How do we go about correcting this? How do we cultivate a spirit of faithful evangelism in our lives and in the life of Railway Street Church? Folks, I want to see Railway Street Church as a church that is not just known for being warm and welcoming, not just known for being a place where we faithfully teach the Bible, but also a church that is so shaped by the gospel that our natural desire is to be sharing that good news with others. And this is something much deeper than simply memorizing a sales pitch. It's not about memorizing 5 simple steps to sharing the gospel. It's not about going onto Bow Street and handing out gospel tracts. It's not simply about inviting people to church, although it's always good to do that. Instead, a culture of faithful evangelism involves a church family that have deliberately and consciously orientated themselves around advancing the gospel in their community. How are we doing? How are we doing as individuals and as a church? Now, evangelism is in our DNA as a church in Railway Street. Because let me remind you, this congregation emerged out of the 1859 revival, where the preaching of the gospel saw many thousands across our land come to faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit here in Lisburn, there wasn't anywhere near enough room in First Lisburn Presbyterian for all who wanted to come and worship on the Lord's Day. And so Second Lisburn congregation was established. And it quickly became known as Railway Street. And as far as I can see, especially reading through our church's history, evangelism has continued to be an important element in our congregation's history at nearly every point. But what about today? There's a lot that's good and positive in our church. But one thing that's been often clear to me is that we're maybe much more comfortable being together in here than we are comfortable taking the gospel out there. 3 years ago, we were seeking to move beyond that comfort zone. We'd committed ourselves to work with many other churches in Lisburn through the 10,000 Lives Initiative with Crown Jesus Ministries. We were planning specific events in Railway Street. Now, we know the coming of COVID, the beginning of lockdown, none of those events happened. But I said this before, back in the springtime, as I look back to that time, the truth is, as a congregation, we weren't ready. We weren't ready in our minds. And in our hearts, let alone practically. We weren't geared up for that. Folks, we tend maybe to look inward too much. We need to become more outward looking in this church. And if we want our church to truly grow, churches grow in several different ways. The church grows in depth as disciples grow in their faith. Hence that other emphasis in our mission plan, to see all age discipleship, to see everybody growing in their knowledge of Jesus Christ and in their relationship with him. So a church grows in depth as disciples grow in their faith, and it grows in number in 2 ways. It grows as Christians who move into a community decide to make Railway Street their spiritual home, and we've been so encouraged to see some of you who have done that in recent years. But the most natural and biblical form of church growth is as people come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We don't see that happening in Railway Street nearly as much as we should. In Acts, as Jesus' disciples shared that message, the church grew steadily as a result of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's clear that all believers were engaged at some level in that task. We need to develop this vitally important aspect of church life, going wider than those who currently belong, seeking to reach out into our community. And I've said before, the greatest way we can serve our community is not through providing activities for their children or things like that. Those things are right and good and important. But the greatest way of serving our community is to share with them the good news. What does that look like in practice? Folks, a church that has a culture of faithful evangelism will be actively making, taking, and praying for and planning towards gospel opportunities. First of all, we need to pray for opportunities. We need to pray for opportunities to share the gospel. The Apostle Paul asked the church in Ephesus to pray for him. That's what he said in Ephesians 6. He reminded them that they were in a spiritual battle, and we need to take that on board. He reminded them they needed to put on that armor of God. But then he went on to speak about prayer, to encourage them to pray for one another. And then he said, pray also for me. And remember, Paul was in chains at this point. He was in prison. Pray for me whenever I speak. Words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Even Paul, one of the greatest evangelists the church has ever produced, felt the need for others to pray for him, that he would find and take opportunities to share the gospel. And so he asked him to pray that he would find the right words, that he wouldn't chicken out when the opportunity came. Folks, we cannot hope to overcome personal weakness in evangelism simply by trying harder. This is something we need divine help with. We need to pray. We need to ask others to pray. And further, this reminds us that evangelism is not primarily the work of people. It's the work of God, that God works through our words to open hearers' hearts to receive the truth of the gospel. So we need to pray for opportunities. Paul prays not only about fearlessness, but faithfulness. Far from being something that was an optional and extra in terms of his priorities, evangelism was at the top of his prayer list. Wanted opportunities to share the gospel, even while a prisoner in chains. Secondly, we need to take the opportunity that God gives. If we pray, and listen, folks, this is so true. If we pray for God to give opportunities to share the gospel, and we believe God answers prayers, then we should expect that opportunities will present themselves. And I find that to be true. But then we need to discipline ourselves to take those opportunities when God gives them. That's often the hard bit. I've missed opportunities over the years. One of the earliest stands out very clear to me. I was a young student assistant in First Antrim. I was sent to visit a man who didn't come to church, whose health was in decline, who ended up in the Antrim Area Hospital. I went to speak with him. We spoke about different things. But the one thing that I didn't do was question him about where he stood with the Lord and whether he was ready to go into eternity. I was the last person from First Antrim to speak with that man. That man died a couple of days later. The opportunity was there. I didn't take it. Regret that to this day. I'd like to say that was the last time that's happened. It's not. But if we pray for opportunities God gives us, and we see a wonderful example of that in Acts 16. Do you remember the Apostle Paul, his friend Silas, they've ended up in prison in Philippi. And in the middle of the night, God interrupts their prison stay with an earthquake. Prison doors all fall open. Along with all the others in the prison, they're free to go. Their chains have fallen off. Now, most people in that situation would have seen that primarily as a great opportunity to escape. Few would see the opportunity that Paul saw. Paul saw it as an opportunity from God for the gospel. And so the jailer woke up when he saw the prison doors were open. He assumed the worst. He drew his sword. He was going to kill himself because if the prisoners had escaped, then his life was forfeit. And then he heard Paul shouting, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Jailer calls for lights. He comes rushing in. He falls before Paul and Silas. He says to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. Same Paul, he prayed who called others to pray for opportunities to share the gospel, took those opportunities when God provided them. And when you pray for opportunities, don't be surprised when they present themselves. Whether it's simply when you're at work, when you're having your coffee break or your lunch or you're meeting somebody for coffee, those opportunities are there. Rico Tice, the evangelist, the founder of Christianity Explored Ministry, says this: it is no accident that you know the people you do. It's no accident that you know the people you do. It's no accident that they're in your path. They need the gospel. You know the gospel. God wants them to hear the gospel. We pray for opportunities. God will give them, but we need to be ready to grasp them. I'm sure we'll come back to that in the weeks to come. Sometimes we need to make opportunities to tell others the gospel, consciously make opportunities. It's important to remember that the only qualification for evangelism is being a Christian. A Christian understands as a personal experience of the truth of the gospel. Later on in Acts, in the next chapter, in Acts 17, Paul's talking to different type of people. He's speaking with the philosophers in the city of Athens. They're people who don't have any sort of Christian worldview. And in the chapter we read of Paul intentionally constructing that worldview by explaining biblical framework to them. We read this: while Paul was waiting for his companions in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogues with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. He made opportunities to tell others the gospel. Folks, we live in the city of Lisbon, or we live in the market town of Lisbon, whatever you prefer. It doesn't change the reality that Lisbon today in many ways is as idolatrous as Athens was 2,000 years ago. We live among people who are increasingly ignorant of the gospel. And yet we live in a time of increasing fear and gloom where many desperately are looking for good news. And we have the good news to share. We need to make opportunities to share the gospel with the people of this city. We need to work together intentionally as a church, organizing opportunities and programs to share the gospel with others. I hope that as we make our way through gospel-shaped outreach, that God will encourage and nurture a culture of evangelistic faithfulness in this church. That we would all seek to develop this culture by praying for, by making and taking opportunities to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we go right back to where we started this morning, that call to your disciples to be witnesses, to share with others what we have seen and heard. We who know the truth of the gospel, we who have experienced the reality of the gospel in our lives, remind ourselves of how we are called to be your witnesses, to pass that on, to pass that gospel on to others. We thank you, Lord, for generations in this church who have done that faithfully, done that in our community. For how, Lord, you've mightily blessed this congregation from its foundation at many times down through our history. We pray that you would do that in these days. We rejoice, Lord, in those who have become part of our church family here in recent years. And for others, you're drawing in. But we also want, Lord, to reach out. We want to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ as we share that message. It's not an easy path, Lord. As we heard earlier, the thoughts of others, this is something that often causes fear and nervousness.